Pembroke Farmers Market, 1890 to 1940. Pembroke's 34th Heritage Mural is made up of three individual murals illustrating the first 50 years of the Pembroke Farmers Market, situated on their historic site. Each mural is a segment of this time period. Winter 1890 to 1910 portrays a time when the market was year-round. For sale were cords of wood for the stoves of people living in town and sides of frozen beef and pork. Shown here are sleighs used by vendors with front and back runners, usually pulled by two horses. Also shown is a cutter with one length of runner each side, pulled by one horse. Fur hides on seats were quite common, often with heated bricks underneath for warmth. Fall 1910 to the 1920s portrays the outside of the building built in 1889 by Pembroke Town Council. The CPR tracks are behind the market. Few people had vehicles in this time period. Horse-drawn wagons and buggies were a common sight. Produce then and now is the same: corn, pumpkins, potatoes, carrots, and the like, along with baking, preserves, knitted socks, and hats. Leo Marlowe and his wife Irene sold golden bantam corn, shown here on the left. What was different then was coal and wood was for sale in large quantities. There was a large drive-in weigh scale on site, not illustrated here. Note the style of clothing. Summer 1930 to 1940 portrays the inside of the building and the layout of the vendor stalls. Vendors were inside and outside during the summer and fall months. Butchers, Edmonton's son Albert Sack, were vendors for many years, as well as Vera McIntyre, who attended the market with her vendor parents as a child and continued into her adult years selling bread, pies, cookies, and such items. Produce then and now is the same, the exception being live poultry, clean poultry, eggs, puppies, and kittens. A full history of the Pembroke Farmers Market from 1890 to the present is located on the market site. Painted by artist Shauna Torgerson, 2015. Time to pause your iPods. Pansy Patch Park. Pansy Patch Park is an 8-acre island in the Muskrat River. Mrs. Annie Gray Keith of Ottawa donated it to the city of Pembroke in 1962. She lived here until the death of her husband, Dr. H.J. Keith. Beginning in 1925 and for the next several years, Mrs. Keith and her team of gardeners transformed the island into a sanctuary of thousands of flowers, more than 40 species of trees, two greenhouses, goldfish pools, a lily pond, all of which served as a summer home for a pair of majestic swans. Walter Mick Sr. was one of the gardeners shown here in the 1940s, tending the lawns. Keith visitors would be rowed across the river to the island for picnics and garden teas. Note the Keith house at the top of the hill and the steps leading down to the covered docks where they rowed to and from the island. The house still stands today. During World War II, Queen Juliana visited the Keiths regularly, and her children played in Pansy Patch Park. They are illustrated here with tulips around them. It was quite common for boys to fish here. Pansy Patch Park is easily accessible today and remains one of Pembroke's best-kept secrets. Artist David Yateman, Festival of Mural Art, 1999. Time to pause your iPods. The S.J. Webb Bakery. This mural celebrates Pembroke's small businesses. Mrs. Webb, shown in the frame, ran the bakery, a store, and a delivery service, as well as raising a large family of 9 children by herself. Her husband died at a young age. Mr. Webb is shown in phantom, handing out cookies to Pembroke children. This was a common sight during his life. The little boy in phantom is Derek Zimmerman. Artists often use likenesses of local people who watch them work. On the right is an illustration of the original Webb store. S.J. Webb Bakery mural is painted next to the town smithy because they really were neighbors. In most of Pierre Hardy's murals, he has hidden a swallow. Can you find it? Artist Pierre Hardy, 1991. Time to pause your iPods. The Town Smithy. Pembroke's blacksmith shop was located next to Webb's Bakery on Miller Street for many years. The business was owned by John Grail, shown here at work in 1952. Mr. Grail was one of the last blacksmiths in Pembroke and received his training at Thomas Pink's factory, where logging tools were made. Some of the tools that were made by Mr. Grail were parts for cant hooks, which were used in the bush to hook and turn over logs, and peavies, which were also used for the same purpose, but on the river. Near the end of this era, most of the wagon wheels and sleighs used by the local lumbering companies in Pembroke were made by John Grail. Parts of the wagon wheels were made out of wood. A fire was built to heat up the steel, expand it, and hammer it into a steel band that fit around the wheel. Many other items, such as plow shears, a knife-like cutter at the front of the plow, springs for trucks, and clevises used to join chains to loads, were also made by this blacksmith. On the right side, at the edge of the forge, or fire, you can see all of the tongues hanging on the wall. Each tongue was used for a specific purpose, and the blacksmith made all of them himself. Back then, you just couldn't go out and buy your tools. They all had to be handmade. Many of his family are still in the area, and they are very proud of this mural. John Ellenberger captured Mr. Grail's likeness perfectly. Artist John Ellenberger, 1994. Time to pause your iPods. The Hockey Players. A tribute to three of the original inductees into the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. All were born in Pembroke. Harold Harry Cameron, 1890 to 1953, was inducted in 1962. He played for the Wanderers of the NHA, Toronto, Ottawa, and Canadiens of the NHL, and the Saskatoon St. Pats. Cameron played 14 professional seasons from 1912 to 1926 and was an outstanding scorer. Huey Lehman, 1885 to 1961, was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1958. He played for the New Westminster Royals, Vancouver Millionaires, and the Chicago Blackhawks of the NHL. Lehman played 20 professional seasons from 1908 to 1928 and was an outstanding netminder. They called him the Pembroke Peach. Frank Niver, 1893 to 1966, was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1947. He played for the Vancouver Millionaires, the Ottawa Senators, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Niver played 18 grueling professional seasons from 1912 to 1930 and was an outstanding stick handler and center. Artist Stephen Bell, 1990. The hoops below the mural are Bell's trademark. He's also a juggler. Time to pause your iPods. The Timber Raft. A tribute to the era of the timber raft on the Ottawa River circa the 1800s. Long timbers of white and red pine were in abundance in this region and the primary reason for early settlers seeking lumber rights. Timbers were hewn square with a broadaxe, weighing 10 or 12 pounds. This shape was made specifically for English and European markets in the early 1800s, as the square logs fit better into the holds of ships. The timber sticks, with an average length of 40 to 50 feet, were bound together into cribs. 20 to 25 sticks made up a crib 26 feet wide. These cribs were assembled into rafts containing 90 to 200 cribs. River drivers would break rafts into cribs to run chutes and heavy white water, illustrated here. A freestanding mural with three-dimensional components consisting of a square timber crib model, red and white pine trees, shrubs, and boulders built into a berm. It is a collective achievement by many people and stands as a grand entrance to our beautiful waterfront and marina parkland. Our partners' names are engraved on the 6-ton boulder. Altogether, more than 70 people physically worked on this distinct mural. Artist Pierre Hardy, 2004. Time to pause your iPods. Spring Harvest, an artist's sketchbook, was painted in 1990 by Robin Burgess, who grew up in this area. One of Canada's largest multi-angle, multi-level murals, it shows sketches of Pembroke's logging industry. The Go Devil sled, which was replaced by the skid. The broadaxe and saws, which were replaced by machine saws. The pencil displays the name Malone. Richard Malone was one of the artists assisting with this mural. On the eraser is the name Garneau. Robert Garneau was also an assistant on this mural, as well as some of the murals created by Pierre Hardy. On the other side of the mural is a scene showing the pointer boats in use. A quote from Robin: "My use of sepia tone is meant to reflect the feeling of old photographs. The pencil and eraser reflect my involvement as an artist. The forest green background is symbolic of the Ottawa Valley Forest." Time to pause your iPods. The lumbering industry. If your grandfather came from here, there's a good chance he worked in the lumber camps. Lumbering was the primary industry here from 1828 until 1980, and is a significant part of the cultural heritage of this region. Note the pointer boat in log booms, horse and sled pulling lumber from the bush, the shanty house where men lived, and the steam train that transported lumber. This mural was painted by 1,400 people who attended the International Plowing Match held in September of 1994 under the watchful eye of artist David Yeatman. The youngest artist who painted on the mural was 5 months old, held in her mother's arms. The eldest painter was 94. J.R. Booth is the name of the Ottawa Valley's famous lumber baron, shown in the forefront. Time to pause your iPods. Peter White was painted in 1991 by Pembroke's youngest mural artist, Robert Garneau. He was only 21 at the time. This mural commemorates Peter White, Pembroke's first settler, May 28, 1828, who came to this area seeking lumber rights. He is shown here with his wife Cecilia and daughter Elizabeth, the first European child born in this area on New Year's Day, 1829. Points of interest in this mural? All three have streets named after them. The cabin was located on the Ottawa River and was behind the area of the current Dairy Queen. The artist actually got on top of the Dairy Queen to view the landscape for this mural. Time to pause your iPods. Champlain Trail. In 1613, Samuel de Champlain was the first European traveler to this area. This mural is painted as four framed pictures hanging in a Victorian parlor or living room. The artist recreated an old style of wallpaper directly onto the wall, researched by the artist and the mural's committee. Top left is Champlain and his voyageurs as they travel down rapids. Top right is a formal portrait of the explorer taken from written descriptions. Bottom left, a selection of items that Champlain brought from Europe to Canada, including the astrolabe. Bottom right shows Champlain using his astrolabe that he lost near Cobden and his Huron guides. Cobden is a community 15 miles south of Pembroke. Champlain only made it to this area we know as Pembroke because the Algonquin Indians operated a toll at Morrison Island. He refused to pay the toll. Champlain turned back and came up this side of the Ottawa River, what we know as the Ontario side. Artist Pierre Hardy, 1991. Can you find the hidden swallow in this Pierre Hardy mural? Time to pause your iPods. Grand Trunk Union Station. Pembroke was the junction of several railway lines in the early 1900s. In 1899, local businessmen built a rail service from Pembroke to Golden Lake, known as the Pembroke Southern. This would join J.R. Booth's rail service that ran Ottawa, Armpire, Parry Sound. From 1905 to 1914, the Grand Trunk Railway acquired Booth Rail, Pembroke Southern, and other lines. It built Union Station and served trains from Canadian Northern. The final rail system from 1923 to 1960 was called the Canadian National Railway. This mural illustrates Union Station in the 1950s. Its location was across from City Hall on what is now a parking lot and plaza. Station agent Hugh Thurston is shown checking the time with conductor W.L. Higginson. Fireman Keith Saunders is sitting in the cab window. These men worked the rails all their lives and were among the last to serve Union Station before it was demolished. Foreground illustrates typically dressed workmen riding the section hand car into the rail yard. 1958 to 1960 was the last great show of steam locomotives in the Upper Ottawa Valley. Some points of interest about this mural. Note the time. It's 11:50 a.m. This is the noon train being loaded and boarded. The man hanging on the side of the cab is a brakeman. The artist painted himself into the mural. Cans of fresh milk and cream are being loaded. O'Brien's Creamery was then located at what is now Stinson's Service Center on McKay Street. October 27, 1956 was the last passenger train to leave Union Station. Grand Trunk Locomotive No. 5579 did exist and is painted 1/16th to scale. The artist painted a brick arch on a brick wall to give the illusion of looking into the past. This mural was painstakingly painted and has been admired by rail buffs for many years. Artist Robin Burgess, 1996. Time to pause your iPods. A celebration of rural living. For 5 days in September 1994, 1,000 acres of beautiful Renfrew County farmland was turned into Canada's largest outdoor show of farming and rural living. The International Plowing Match drew more than 125,000 people over 5 days and has the reputation of being the biggest match ever in its 70-plus year history. The original International Plowing Match poster was designed by local artist Barbara Blackstein. Blackstein's artwork was recreated into a mural by local artist Marilyn Safri in 1994. Points of interest about this mural. Profit from the IPM, the International Plowing Match, was in excess of $500,000. $500,000 was donated to the County of Renfrew for a 911 emergency system. $70,000 went to the Ottawa Valley Tourist Association to help promote tourism in the area. In 2001, the mural was repainted onto aluminum panels by Safri. The panels are mounted onto a custom-made aluminum frame, which is bolted to the building. Would you believe that the panels are attached to the frame by a special two-sided tape? Time to pause your iPods. Canadian Armed Forces, at the ready. The mural presents a collage of images representing the rich history of Canada's Armed Forces. The left side of the mural is in remembrance of the First and Second World Wars. The sky is painted red behind them to symbolize this era of conflict. The printing lists areas of conflict. The center, Navy, Air Force, and Army, representatives of today stand beneath the United Nations logo. The United Nations was created in 1945. The right side of the mural recognizes the peacekeeping missions that Canada has been involved in. Blue symbolizes peace. The printing lists areas of peacekeeping missions. Note the native soldier with a feather in his helmet. Military personnel worked with the mural committee in order to ensure that uniforms and insignia were accurate. Pembroke is proud to have CFB Petawawa as its neighbor. Artist Robin Burgess, 1992. Time to pause your iPods. CPR Water Tower. This unique 360-degree mural encompasses the vibrant history of the Canadian Pacific Rail's steam locomotives in conjunction with Consolidated Lumber Company Limited. The CP Railway moved numerous passengers and freight across Canada on a ribbon of steel. Consolidated Lumber produced millions of board feet of softwood destined for the world's markets. Pembroke was and still is the center of commerce in the Upper Ottawa Valley, serving 110,000-plus residents. This most unique mural, circa 1950s, was painted on a heritage structure. It illustrates CP Rail, Consolidated Lumber, the roundhouse where steam engines were turned around, the water tower, engine number 1223, backdrop by the mighty Ottawa River waterway. The tower has been painted in CP colors, maroon and gray. There are extremely few 360-degree murals in Canada and the United States. Pembroke is very fortunate to have the support and encouragement from the business community, Pembroke City Council, and the owner of this property. Artist John Ellenberger, 2000. John specializes in painting on metal with an airbrush. Note the fine details of vehicles, for example. Old-time fiddling and step dancing, also one of his murals, is also painted on steel. Time to pause your iPods. The Pioneers of Pembroke Township, 1820 to 1850. It was hard times for the original pioneers. The Crown needed to open up this region for the tall red and white pine trees. They went to Upper and Lower Canada seeking people who were willing to relocate. The majority of early settlers to Pembroke Township were originally from Britain, Ireland, and Scotland, and some from the French settlement of Miramichi, New Brunswick. The earliest record of Pembroke Township was to Abel A. Ward, a militia grant, dated January 19, 1820, Lot 29, Concession 2. Many, not all, came with land grants, military, free grants, and grants for the daughters or sons of the United Empire Loyalists. Before receiving title, people had to clear at least 5 acres, build a homestead of 15 by 25 feet, grow crops, and contribute toward the building of the access road next to their property. This would take 5 years to gain title, in some cases 10 to 15 years. Most lots were 10 chains wide, or 660 feet. A chain was an acceptable method of measurement. Surveyor John McNaughton was charged by the Crown to survey the land and draft a map of the region. It was signed January 4, 1836. Looking from left to right on the mural, an early homestead, numerous stumps were common then. Teams of oxen were used to pull the small stumps. Large ones were burned. A man notching timber for his homestead. 2 men bowling their way through a log on a cross-cut saw. A woman and child planting potatoes. Center right of the mural, a more established homestead. Stumps have been removed and crops planted. On the right, Surveyor McNaughton standing next to his transit, a tool of the trade, and a replica of the original township map. This mural illustrates the strength and courage it took to clear, build, and grow a new life in the wilderness of Pembroke Township. This mural project was planned over a 4-year period and installed as part of Pembroke's 180th anniversary celebrations in May of 2008. The Champlain Trail Museum and Pioneer Village is an appropriate location for this mural. Sponsors' names are listed underneath the mural. Artist, Carol Marowa, 2008. Time to pause your iPod. Living our community dreams. This mural is located on Pembroke Street West, not far from the downtown area. Look for the traffic lights at Forest Road. It's on the Association for Community Living building. Circa 1950. A group of parents in Pembroke and Petawawa raising children with learning disabilities went against the established mindset of post-war North America. They believe their sons and daughters should have every opportunity to learn, live, and grow within their own community. This mural pays tribute to the founding members illustrated here and also speaks to the future of community living and family involvement. Members of community living who benefit from their dedication of 50-plus years are shown here participating in various activities, jobs, and events that take place in our community. The idea of an old scrapbook style of mural comes from the scrapbooks assembled by members over the years. The goal of these founding pioneers, that all persons live in a state of dignity, share in all elements of living in the community, and have the opportunity to participate effectively. Painted in 2010 by artist John Ellenberger, sponsored by Community Living Upper Ottawa Valley.
We hope you have enjoyed your tour and learned a little of our rich history along the way. This is a public art project owned and supported by the people of Pembroke. It's been made possible through generous donations and services by building contractors, professional painters, sign makers, an architect, local businesses, organizations, and individuals. Pembroke City Council and staff have supported and contributed to the murals over the years. Donations and bequests can be made to our reserve fund or directly to support the ongoing work of Heritage Murals. Charitable receipts are issued. Our souvenirs are available at Sweet William's Floral and Gift Shop, located inside Giant Tiger. My name is Pamela Dempsey, Chair of Pembroke Heritage Murals, and it's been our pleasure to bring this audio tour to you.